Welcome to the Connected Leaders Academy Virtual Conference, designed to reshape your vision of transformation. As we navigate the evolving business landscape, our speakers will unveil innovative strategies to manage and initiate change. Prepare to adapt, innovate, and lead, ensuring your role as a catalyst in this transformative era.
Who are we in our darkest moments? How do we overcome the fear of failure? How do we step outside of the outcome and step into ourselves? My name is Jonathan Cohen. I'm a father, a husband, an attorney by trade with a background in public service of 5 years in two different countries as a soldier, infantry combat, and an SVU prosecutor in Bronx County. I was labeled with learning disabilities. I was labeled with all of these different frustrating experiences that would happen to me when I was younger and started to wear situations. I didn't know how to separate myself from situations. And today, I want to talk to you about the art of overcoming setbacks, the art of stepping into who you are, stepping into the vision that you have for yourself. Because once upon a time, I couldn't get into college. I couldn't get into law school. I couldn't get into business school. And I couldn't get a job at a DA's office. I waited for a phone that never rang. I waited for messages that never came. And as a result, I had to take a different kind of approach. I had to reframe. I had to consider different opportunities. I had to look at myself from a different perspective. I had to level up. And so today I'm going to share with you some of the things that I've learned over the last 7 years by stepping outside of the outcome and into the vision that I saw for myself. And I want to start by telling you a story about a king. Once upon a time, there was a king who owned a magnificent kingdom, and he had an incredible collection of jewelry. And among his collection was this very special diamond. And one day, the diamond fell and got scratched. The king was so upset and he didn't know what to do about it. So he called the finest stonemasons in the land. And they come to his king's court, the best three, and one by one, they take a look at the diamond. The first one takes a look at the diamond, says it's impossible to fix. This is the situation. King says, get out of here. I don't need your help. The second mason takes a look at the diamond and says, well, what you can do is you could actually break it up into pieces and you could have a whole bunch of other little diamonds, maybe make some rings, some other jewelry. King doesn't even let him finish the sentence and sends him back. The third one takes a look at it and says, I need a few days. A few days go by, King doesn't hear anything. So he sends his king's guard, gets the mason, brings him back to his king's court. And he looks at him and he says, what's going on? He says, my king, here you are. King takes the diamond out of the mason's hand and his jaw drops. Where there was once this crazy scratch, there was now a rose. The mason had carved out a rose from the scratch. And the moral of the story is that battle scars are attractive. Today, the theme of this entire seminar is about rebooting ourselves. And that metaphor resonates because I actually work in the semiconductor industry as an attorney and business strategist. And an operating system, when it reboots, it's not like it forgets everything that it ever was. It has more bandwidth. It got a fresh start. But it's still the same computer. It still has the same data on it that it had before the reboot. And this is important because when we think about battle scars and when we think about rebooting ourselves, there's a lot of parallels. Because when you think about who you are as an individual, experience isn't what happens to you, it's what you do with it. So how you leverage that experience, that becomes your gift. And so when you start to reframe failure and look at failure as an opportunity, look at it as feedback, receive it, and see, well, maybe I'm not doing something right. My content's not getting views. My audience isn't resonating with my message. DA's institutions aren't calling me back. Colleges aren't taking me. What do I need to do in order to level myself up? And I remember being in that position when I was 18 years old, and I had to make some really difficult choices. Eventually, I found a school that would give me an interview, take to my character, and give me an opportunity for the following year. So I had to figure out what to do in the year off. And so I enlisted in the Israeli military, where I served 2 years, infantry combat, because after serving 1 year, I had fallen in love with the mission. I found purpose, I found drive, and I was learning skills that would stay with me to this day. Resilience and attributes that helped me forge my character through experience. Learning how to do things that I didn't want to do, even though I knew I had to do them. And so when I look at my experience and I think about those situations, I look back and I think about how I became someone else because I learned something very critical in those times. It wasn't about pretending I was someone else. It was about embracing who I was so I could step in to who I am. And so 1 year in the military turned to two because I knew that there was still more work to be done. And so when I came back, I got my pilot's license. I worked for a professional sports team as an intern. I got all these different certifications with this newfound skill set, from bartending license to boating license to lifeguard certificate to flying planes to real estate in a very short time span. All because I felt I had to overcompensate for who I was. And so through experience, I learned that these new labels and certifications that I tried to acquire, they weren't helping me redefine my identity. I was gaining skills, I was gaining experience, but I wasn't really able to level up myself in a way that I was proud of. I was living from a place of external motivation. And so I'd go on to carry this theme throughout my career, through law school, through business school, because I felt that the more degrees and certifications I acquired, the more validated I would be. But after I passed the bar and I'd gotten my JD and I'd gotten my MBA, I was sitting in my bed in my, we'll call it a bachelor pad in New York City, and I had never felt less fulfilled in my entire life. I literally was like, what am I doing here? I've done all these things, and what do I have to show for it? And so I remember listening to a podcast, and it was the first podcast that I had ever listened to, and first two questions that I ever heard on a podcast before. What if you could control your thoughts? What if you could control your feelings? And the first two things that came across my mind in that moment were, that's allowed? That's possible? And at the same time, I envisioned myself answering those questions on the other side of the mic, but I didn't have the answers yet. And so I sent myself down this rabbit hole. And over the last 7 years, I've had the privilege of reading hundreds of books on the topics of personal and professional development. I've had the privilege of building out my own podcast, Inside the Inspired, where I interview high performers through all different walks of life, ranging from Navy SEALs to F-16 pilots, to global best-selling authors, nine-figure entrepreneurs, creators with millions of followers, professional athletes, broadcasters, people I never thought I'd have the opportunity to sit down with. People I once admired are now peers. And all of this stems from a place of lack, a place of external validation, because I was living for the wrong reasons. And so when I started to reframe this lack of fulfillment as an opportunity and think about how this was now my chance to go and answer questions that I wanted to, after reading all of these pages in law school, I now had this reading skill that I could go through books with ease, because for so long it was so hard to go through all those books. I could sit down and write for hours because I had years of practice under my belt at this point. So this kid who was once labeled as having learning disabilities was now set free because he started to look at things from a different perspective. And so when that was going on, I was operating from a place of external motivation, but also out of alignment. And so what I was saying, what I was doing, and what I wanted, they didn't line up. And so when I started to follow my curiosity and I started to reframe my perspective and I started to practice what I preach, things started to change. I started to see the value in keeping promises to myself. If I said I was going to wake up at a certain hour, I did. If I said that I was going to meet a friend, I wouldn't cancel the plans. If I said that I was going to get to a place at a certain time, I stuck to it. And then what I was seeing and what I was doing and what I was wanting started to line up. And I call this the straight line method, where what you say, what you do, and what you want, there's a straight line through. Because when you're out of alignment, when what you say, what you want, and what you do don't have that through line, there's missing pieces. And then you start to wonder why things aren't going your way. Because even though progress isn't necessarily linear, the way that we look at our actions and the way that we look at our words and our thoughts and our beliefs, if we don't lean in to what naturally drives us, we're depriving ourselves of what can fulfill us. There's this other framework that I want to offer you of chasing perfect days, where effectively, if you think about your perfect day, what does that look like? You write down every single thing that you would do. And then what you do is you circle how many of those things you can do on a daily basis. When you realize that there's so many things that in your perfect day you can control and actually build into your life, things start to change. And so that's what I did. I started realizing how many of the things I wished I could do on a daily basis, from reading and writing and training and working and trusting myself to make decisions that I was proud of, from the double espresso in the morning to a nonfiction book to a podcast to speaking to someone that had wisdom I wanted to acquire. I started to build those things into my life deliberately. And 7 years later, I've built a podcast and an audience of over 20,000 followers across social media, over 170 episodes with all of these different incredible high performers that have taught me so much that I realized because I simply followed my curiosity, because I wanted to answer questions that sent me down this rabbit hole, making me wonder what could be. I started to change my perspective. And I had to learn how to make some really difficult decisions as a result. People started to leave my life because I was starting to live in a different way. I wanted to go to sleep at a different hour. I wanted to eat different foods. I didn't want to drink alcohol. I didn't want to hang out with the wrong people. And so naturally, my time and my appreciation for my time started to shift. And so I remember during my time at the DA's office, I had this opportunity to take vacation. And I actually left with over 2 weeks worth of vacation on the table because I felt I wanted to squeeze as much juice from that fruit that I possibly could in the form of experience, because I knew I'd only be there for a certain amount of time. And in order to maximize the experience, I'd have to sacrifice. And the sacrifice came in the form of time off. Now, through experience, I've learned how burnout can impact me. I've learned how not managing my emotions can impact me. But by considering a new frame, intrinsic motivation, and building things into my life, intrinsic motivation is when we operate from a place of fulfillment, when we do things for the sake of the process. And intrinsic motivation has been a North Star on my journey of overcoming learning disabilities and labels and rejection and failure, because I started to do things for the sake of doing them. I stopped chasing certifications, I stopped chasing degrees, I stopped chasing validation, and I started to do things that I wanted to do. And that sent me down a very unique path of endurance training, where over the last few years, I've been able to raise tens and tens and tens of thousands of dollars from multiple organizations because I put my mind, blood, sweat, and tears on the line for different endurance events. And so what started out as a half marathon, most recently in September, culminated in a 58-mile ultra marathon with no walkings and with no walking and no headphones. And we raised over $29,000 as a result. It took about 10 hours. And 40 miles into a 58-mile ultra marathon, my bones are crushing, one on top of the other. My wife is looking at me with love in her heart, but also wishing I would stop. My mom is telling me I can stop at any time. My daughter is on the floor, doesn't know what's going on, but bringing her energy. And so the only thing you can do in those moments where doubt starts to creep in, where you start to question yourself, where you start to let the demons and the gremlins get the better of you, is to take one step. It's not about seeing the finish line. When you're operating from a place of intrinsic motivation, you're doing it for the sake of doing it. There was no award at the end of this. There was no medal. And if I didn't finish, I don't think anybody would have cared. I don't think my family would have seen me differently. I don't think anyone would have held it against me. But I made a promise to myself, and I said that I was going to do something. And for some people, it was a turnoff. And it started to make me question, well, why? Like, this is cool, I think. But then I also realized, well, I'm not supposed to be for everybody. And that light bulb, when it went off, made me realize that if I take a neutral position, I'm doing myself a disservice. If I don't stand for something, I'll fall for anything. And if I don't put myself in a position to believe in the things and follow through on the things that I say, then I'm going to compromise that standard in other areas of my life. And the 58-mile ultra marathon is the culmination, but leading up to it, all of this started with push-ups. I did 1,000 push-ups in an hour, and because I did push-ups, we were able to feed over 20,000 people through Feeding America. The next year, I ran my first marathon. The next year, I did the David Goggins challenge, where it's 4 miles every 4 hours for 48 hours, and I added 2 miles in memory of my grandmothers who had passed away from Alzheimer's. And that raised over $15,000 towards curing Alzheimer's through research. And the following year, I did 1,018 pull-ups in 4 hours, where we raised over $20,000 for an organization called the Friendship Circle that helps children with special needs integrate into society by learning real-life skills. Almost passed out from that experience because I didn't understand how to fuel. My dad's looking at me, telling me I don't have to finish. I've already done enough. My brother looks across his shoulder. I see my brother and looked at him in the eye, and he said to me, "Foxhole, I'm in the foxhole with you, bro." And sometimes it just takes someone that doesn't necessarily believe in what you're doing, but will be in your corner regardless to finish something great. I used to believe that the lone wolf mentality was what it was about. I used to believe that I could go further by myself than with people. And I used to believe that I was better because I had something to prove. And the reality is, you go further with the community. The reality is, when you operate from a place of intrinsic motivation, when you do things for the sake of doing things, when what you say, what you do, and what you want, everything lines up, when you realize that progress isn't necessarily linear and sometimes it's a spiral up, things start to shift and you reframe. You start to consider a different perspective about what's possible. And so this career trajectory that's taken me all over the world, that's taken me all over the country, that's helped me raise all this money, that's helped me meet all of these incredible individuals, comes down to a very simple premise. Learning how to have grace with yourself, learning to trust yourself, learning to believe in yourself and love yourself when you don't want to the most. And those moments that you want to hate on yourself, call yourself an idiot, that's not being tough. That's not how you overcome setbacks. 40 miles in to a 58-mile ultramarathon, 900 plus pull-ups in, with over 100 left to go, there's only one thing you can do. It's one step at a time. Have grace with yourself, trust yourself, believe in yourself, and know yourself to be exactly who you say you are. Because rebooting isn't about letting go, it's about embracing. It's about stepping in and stepping up to who you are. And when you learn that about you, you start to play a different game. It's no longer about what you're trying to achieve. It's about who you can be in your darkest moments. To be your own best friend. To be the person that you need. Because if you believe in you, everybody else will come as a byproduct. And when I say everybody else, that's the people for you. That's the people that need you. And so don't make it about you. Make it about the people that need you. And maybe you haven't met them yet, and that's okay. But by following that curiosity, by operating from intrinsic motivation, by stepping up and stepping into the vision, that's when things start to shift. Everything that I used to be about was for the wrong reasons. When I learned the very simple premise that what I want and what I say and what I do, that straight line through, everything starts to operate in alignment. It points north towards my vision. When you have a vision for who you can be and you start to take steps day at a time towards that vision, then it's just inevitable that you get where you're trying to go. Maybe not in the way that you thought, but better than you ever could have imagined. My name is Jonathan Cohen. I appreciate your time. Thank you so much for the platform and giving me a few moments to talk about my experiences and what matters to me so deeply. I look forward to connecting with all of you. Thank you to the Connected Leaders Academy. And I look forward to many, many more conversations. Have a great and positive weekend. And I look forward to hearing how the rest of you succeed in 2025.
Thank you for participating in today's enlightening session as we transition to our next expert. Remember that each strategy and insight is a step toward becoming a transformative leader in your field. Visit ConnectedLeadersAcademy.com to stay engaged and informed. The journey of change is ongoing. Let's move forward together.